Today we explore the AMG era, before this iconic tuning company was swallowed up by Mercedes. Originally the brainchild of two ex-Mercedes engineers in 1967, this tuning house gained a reputation for creating racing cars based on Mercedes, and these were cars to be reckoned with. The founders, Hans Werner Aufrecht and Erhard Melcher, each had very different temperaments, but it is a dynamic combination that created cars that became legends, like the Red Pig, a 6.8-litre 300 SEL that took endurance saloon car racing by storm at Spa in 1971. AMG's approach to tuning was to bore and stroke the engine, typically the M117 V8, used by Mercedes from 1971 to 1992. But they needed more, and the only way they could do this was by getting more fuel mixture into the cylinders. And this is where they excelled, by producing a twin cam, 4 valves per cylinder head that was used on 5-litre, 5.2, 5.4, 5.6, and ultimately 6-litre engines. An American journalist driving one of these cars nicknamed it the Hammer. He said it was as subtle as a hammer, and that terminology really has persisted. These monsters also had suspension mods, body kit, revised interiors, in fact anything the prospective owner could afford. These are gutsy cars. Some would say Marmite cars, but in the eyes of some collectors, they are without equal. Today we meet one such collector, Neville Brown. Neville, clearly you're smitten by AMGs. How did it start?
I suppose, like most youngsters who had pin-ups on their walls, I used to read Fast Lane as a youngster and remember seeing Stratton AMGs of the time, the wide bodies, the converted SLs. And I suppose my main peak of interest was when I was trolled around London as a young surveyor in the back of an SEC wide body by some property developer, and that pretty much set the scene for where I would go and hanker for one day. And then as these things became more affordable to me, as time goes on, I started to collect them. The rest, as they say, is history.
Okay. I mean, some people say they look like 80s drug dealers' cars. What do you say to that?
And my wife borrowed my white SEC wide body and used to take my children to school and had much the same type of comment when she was dropping them off. So I think you're absolutely right on that. They're either known as Middle Eastern, pub landlords, or drug dealers' cars. And that was their mantra. And invariably, that's who they were bought by.
Okay. And then there's you. How do you see yourself?
I see my interests now in it's the modification that I like. I like to see how they change, what they do to them, what AMG did to them, what they did to the original cars, and then it's been a case of emulating some of that myself, building my own and also collecting originals and trying to build a collection, which is where we are today.
So here we are, Neville, sitting in your timber-built garage in lovely leafy Surrey, and in front of us is this gorgeous gold-coloured W201, which, if I understand correctly, is your latest creation. Is it an original AMG 201 or is it a Neville AMG 201?
So, this is a original 201 widebody that was purchased in Germany. Some of the parts were on it and some not. Basically, the beauty of buying German cars is TUV, or your logbook, states exactly what was on the car from original, so the suspension, the fender flares, the skirts, the spoiler, they literally listed everything, so it's very, very easy to see a genuine car. This one was bought over here and literally driven back from Germany by a friend of mine, and we've been going through this. The wheels were buckled, which is like most of these Penta wheels on these wide bodies, they buckle, they were never great quality. A lot of the original AMG suspension was knackered, so that's been changed. New shocks and springs, these are all things that I've collected.
But these are the original AMG
Penta
wheels.
These are the original AMG Ronal wheels. And
are they the same width front and rear? Or
these are both 8x16s, okay. Same width front and rear. So this car has a full wide body kit, consisting of the wings to the front, the rears, as you can see, the front and rear valances, and a spliffy spoiler on the rear, which was an addition by me, again genuine but added on, as this one didn't have one when I purchased it. You've got to remember that in the early days you ordered your AMG with whatever parts you wanted, and to get an AMG badge you had to order three parts.
Okay, three parts. Three
minimum.
And these are body parts?
These are any parts.
Okay.
So as long as you bought a steering wheel,
yeah,
a set of wheels and a suspension, you could then have the right to put your AMG badge on. If you didn't buy that, you weren't given your badge.
And just going back,
so the theory goes.
So the theory goes. And the wings on this, are they steel or fiberglass?
Fiberglass front, and this one has steel rear. Although I do have fiberglass versions. So AMG made a combination of both fiberglass and steel for these. And they, I mean, we are talking a very crude piece of fender flare that was just welded in, or if it's the fiberglass version, it was just bolted on and then filled in. A lot of the early work from AMG was crude.
I mean, forgive me, but sitting in this fluorescent light in your garage, it's just one place where you can almost see the join in that rear wing, just about there.
Yeah.
But
because everyone will be different.
Yeah.
It will have been. You've got to remember that there was probably about 35 to 40 different franchises that were doing, that were selling these kits and parts and for AMG. AMG did their own bespoke stuff, but that was invariably for your real wealthy, you know, German industrialists and Middle Eastern. If you wanted your parts, you went to your local AMG centre. In the UK, it was Stratton, Duncan, Hamilton. In Germany, there was various places. Fred Laufer is one that comes to mind. And you would go there and you would choose from your catalogue what you wanted. You presented your Mercedes and then say, well, could you put this on? So you're never going to find each car looking identical. Each car is different.
And I guess that's part of their appeal.
And that's part of their appeal.
Yeah. I see the interior here. You've got an AMG wooden steering wheel. Is there any other interior AMG mods?
So this has got an Eitel Volante badged steering wheel. Basically, AMG bought their early steering wheels from Eitel Volante and had a central leather AMG stamped on it, and they packaged them out as their own steering wheels. This has got the dial set, and I have managed to find in Germany a full wood set complete with the original AMG glue, which will be installed in due course. But a lot of the cars had Recaros fitted. This car has standard seats and standard interior in its rather lurid green, but actually it's sort of grown on me actually as a colour, so I quite like it with the gold, and it gives it a sort of a clear 80s feel.
Actually, I mean, AMG colour schemes, I mean, they tended to be black. Would gold have been
a period
colour?
I think you're thinking more AMG Japan, which tended to be black. I think in Europe, they and particularly in the UK, they were definitely not black.
Okay.
There's some real examples, and we'll be coming up to one later, the way you can see some classic, very bright, very vivacious colour schemes. And I would say yes. Japan, because in Japan they were invariably sold as finished articles by Yanase, and so they were invariably ordered black, and that's how they came from the factory. Whereas in the UK, and I think in Europe a lot, you had whatever you wanted. You took your car and had it done.
Okay. Moving now to the front of the car, to the engine bay. Have AMG modified the engine? What size engine is this, by
so
the way?
So this is a 2 litre. It's mm-hmm. absolutely standard. It's never been modified, and it was pretty dull to drive. It's a manual 4-speed. So this car here had the shocks and springs, so it handled well. It looks the part, but it didn't go. It had no acceleration. So we've actually fitted a period Mosermann turbocharger to this car, which we managed to find, which was a conversion undertaken back in the day. So we bought a damaged car, and that's all been transferred over to this, and is now working lovely, and it's sparked up its performance perfectly.
Do you want to take a stab at what its BHP might be with the turbo?
I think they were 78 originally, and I think this might be 130 or 140. I can't be confirmed on that. I'd need to check that out.
Okay, so you've got 140 brake horsepower car now.
With the supercharger, although not determined on a rolling road. But you read the old articles on the Mosman
supercharger.
But
this is a turbocharger, not a supercharger.
Correct. This is a turbocharger. Mosman made both. This particular car has got a turbocharger fitted.
Well, it's a gorgeous car, but I just can't help noticing down the other end of your garage one that's, gosh, 9 years away in the development cycle, still a 201. But if I remember correctly, you said this one is a twin turbo that you've got.
Yeah, so this
was in silver.
This is a silver 190, a 91 car. So it would have been in the time when Mercedes had started to take an interest in AMG and had purchased, I believe at that time, a 25% share. So this car, as you can see, is visually different. It has more modern, sleek lines. It's a development of the 190 that you see here anyway. So you've got the leather interior. Although that car there is not a wide body, it's just this car has got a Gen 2 fiberglass AMG body kit or enhancements to the skirts, the valances and the rear spoiler. Anyone listening will know invariably what that looks like. And interior, she has a Momo steering wheel, wood trim, and she sits on a different set of wheels.
Presumably the wheels she sits on are a bit narrower than the previous car we're
they
talking
most certainly
about
are.
Because
these,
you haven't got the flared
these
arches.
These wheels are actually 15-inch monoblocks, which AMG called them, and there is an intention on this car to install some 16-inch split-rim AMG wheels that I have, and that will be the next enhancement that we do to this one.
And this 1991 car, it's got twin turbos. Are they AMG spec turbos, or is this totally separate?
Again, although this is an uprated version to the car we're sitting with here, it still, I felt, needed some enhancement to the engine. So we investigated Turbotechnics and Hughes of Beaconsfield, who were a converter back in the day, and they offered a twin turbo kit. So we approached Hughes of Beaconsfield to see whether they were still around, and I managed to find that they still had some old turbo kits sitting in the back of their stores, and I managed to buy up all their stock and all their remaining turbos. So we had a spare kit, and we fitted this kit to this particular car. Matt Charlesworth is the engineer that's fitted it, and it is incredibly frightening to drive, and runs rich and lean and probably needs engine management if the truth be known, but it's vivaciously quick.
So if your gold car is say 140 brake horsepower, how much is a silver car?
270.
270?
Yeah, 260, 270. I have actually had that run on Jansby Turbo's Rolling Road, who built the exhaust for her, so I do actually have the information on that. But yes, she's running at that sort of...
Gosh, that's a ferocious car, given the power to weight ratio.
It's so ferocious, it blows off the seal between the fuel intake and the engine. So we've had to take to gluing that on. But yeah, there's some mods to run it. But it's an interesting car, and a lot quicker, and a natural evolution to the gold one, which you see here.
Okay, now sitting next to this monster you've just described is this 1985... 500 SL AMG, which it's all in red body kit, red hard top, and then the interior has had a serious amount of attention. Tell us about this car.
So this car was bought by me circa 10 years ago. I call it my pub landlord car because it is very vivacious. I do not know the ownership history of her. I know the previous owner very well. But the car was actually converted by Stratton, who were the UK's main converter at the time, main franchisee, as we have various Stratton dealership badges on her. So we know that's...
So this was done up at their place in Wilmslow.
Done up at their place in Wilmslow. So this car has the body kit, the wheels, the suspension, and obviously... AMG didn't really do interior conversions for these cars. They were all left to the local franchisee. So Strattons have retrimmed that themselves, and so it's been done in cream and lurid red, as you refer to it. It's very Middle Eastern spec. It's very garish. The carpets are all completely new. The headlining's done in leather. Everything has been leathered in there. And that would have been a specific spec interior for a client at the time, whoever bought it from
you. Do you have any sense of, in 1985, how much that would have cost just to do the interior?
Well, probably in the region of 10,000 to 15,000.
That's a lot of money back then. What 10 or 15,000 would have got you as a car.
And visually, externally, all the chrome has been black trimmed. Mm. So the car no longer has any chrome. That was a typical AMG or Stratton or whatever you want to call it, modification of the day. Very similar to the 190 you see here. No chrome trim. And that's a standard feature for a lot of these cars. When we see the later cars that we're going to see later, you'll see exactly the same is a thing that you see on all of them.
That does seem to be an AMG hallmark, that there is no chrome anywhere. It's the same colour
again,
often as the body, or else it's black.
You had your menu, and you looked through your menu and you chose your enhancements that you wanted. The only difference with this car is this car has no modifications to the engine. We have lifted the cam covers to see whether it was fitted with AMG cams and heads, which you can easily check, but this particular car has a standard engine with no modifications. But it is very, very noisy. Sounds like an American car, because again, it's got a AMG exhaust on her, and so it has a very good American style burble.
So that exhaust doesn't give you any extra BHP.
I'm sure it will give 5 or 6 horsepower, 7 horsepower, if I remember rightly, but you wouldn't know it. It's a very quick car anyway, the 500. It's not slow. So, but no modifications. I've driven a cam and head modified AMG W126 SEL, and it's a very revvy car, very very revvy, very responsive. Whereas this is more noise and go, but not there's not that race feel to it when you're driving fast.
Okay, so this car kind of shouts its presence,
this
both
car
in terms of the colour, the
presence,
interior, and the louder exhaust.
Absolutely correct.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, correct. This car is making a different statement.
It's more a visual enhancement, I would say.
And let's see. In talking of visual enhancements, I noticed in your other garage, you've got that white, wide-bodied SEC, I think with the 5.6-litre engine in it.
Correct.
And are those really 24-carat gold-plated wheels?
They are 24-carat gold-plated wheels. Again, another car that is incredibly shouty. It's a Marmite car, I suppose, the colour scheme on it. It arrived as a white car with incorrect wheels, and I actually heard of and knew of that car by the gentleman at Rose and Young who used to look after it. And
oh, they're a local Mercedes dealer.
They were a local Mercedes dealer and used to look after that car for the owner, who resides in Woldingham in Surrey. And so I used to hear about this car and the fact that the owner was struggling to find wheels because he'd curbed one and various other enhancements that AMG did on it when it was originally new. And so it was quite interesting to come across it at a trader with the wrong wheels and some bits that had evidently been changed. And so again, that car has had to have some remodification, re-putting in the bits that had been lost over the period. The wheels included, which came from Saudi Arabia, and they were on a wide body SEL, from what I understand, which is a rather rare piece. What that looked like, I'm not 100% sure. So with that theme, I felt it was too criminal to strip them and recolor code the centers white, as the car, as you know, is white with a blue interior. So I kept the gold and then went with the theme of the badging, and would eventually like to put the grill on it as well as the
so
final enhancement.
So you put the gold-plated 1000 SEC
I put the gold-plated 1000 SEC. I had the AMG badge and the Mercedes badge gold plated to match, just to give it a bit of a theme.
I mean, it seemed to me, being controversial, that 1000 SEC actually really stands for nothing other than this is a car that's been modified to the particular tastes of the owner.
Well, 1000 SEC stands for nothing in the world of AMG, but actually, having done some investigation and looking at old AMG Japan brochures, AMG Japan sold 1000 SEC badges. So they stood for 500 SL or a 500 SE or a 500 SEL, because they were twice as good as a standard one when they've been modified by AMG. And that's the folklore where that comes from.
And with this particular wide-bodied Merc, you know beyond all doubt that it is an original AMG car, that the mods were done by
I don't know Stratton who or... originally did the mods. She came out of Normans of Bromley or Normans of Mayfair, and it was ordered by, I can only assume, a very early double glazing firm, probably some wealthy chap. And within 2 years, doing some historical digging, that firm had gone bust. And like most of these cars, the first owners were company directors who would, what would they do with all their paperwork from Stratton? They were given straight to the accountants, and then it was lost forever. Mm. Claim back in VAT. And this is why I have never, ever seen a bill from AMG Stratton. I have never, ever seen one in the flesh. And so you can never be 100% certain, but I've got to be honest, I bought that car 13 or 14 years ago, and it had been modified for many years before that. So it would have been done by Duncan Hamilton, or it would have been done by Stratton's. Mm-hmm. But I can't tell you who.
And are you able to test the wings to see if they're fiberglass or if they're just the steel?
Well, it's always a good check. If you're going to see a wide body, the first thing you do is tap the rear wings. Mm. And if they're fiberglass, it's a fake.
Good.
And if they're metal, they're real.
Right.
Now, that is probably the easiest way to check. The fronts were originally fiberglass, as were the bumpers and relevant boot spoilers. But that is the big, because I don't know anyone who's recreated the metal rears. And I think I'm probably one of the few people that actually has a set of original rear metal wings sitting in the loft. And I've been asked on numerous occasions, can we reproduce those?
Just digressing very slightly, why did AMG make the front wings fiberglass and the rears metal? Why didn't they make them both fiberglass or both?
I have no idea, Richard. Yeah. I don't know what the reasoning behind it was.
Obviously, it's weight saving, I guess.
From what I understand, going back to AMG Japan, fitted back in the day and at the time in the 80s, some of the SECs were fitted with rears with fiberglass. So if you do have a wide body that came out of Japan, don't necessarily think that it is fake or not real, because I have heard of examples of the fiberglass rear wings, but invariably that seemed to only be done in Japan. It wasn't done in North America, Europe or the UK, as far as I'm aware.
Okay, well, a car that we rarely see in this country is the W124 4-litre version, because they never sold them in the UK. But I saw as I came in here earlier on, out there undercover, you've got a W124 400E, and it seems to have all the AMG kit on it. So is that the real deal, or is that a Neville AMG?
It is a recreation. It was at the time when I was desperate to add to my collection and desperately wanted what I class as the real hammer, which is a four-door W124. And pretty much the market had left me behind. So I managed to find that car in France. And the difficult thing with all these cars is the engine conversions. So this car was a W124 model, already fitted with the 4.2 V8 engine, albeit a modern version, the M119, but it was there. Mm-hmm. So it had the go. And so with my parts stash, which I have collected over the years, I added a Gen 2 AMG body kit, put some genuine AMG shocks and springs, the wheels, steering wheel, gauges. So visually, it's probably as close to an original Hammer externally, well, it's as anyone would ever see. The engine is slightly different, being a more modern M119. But to be honest, if you go to Japan and see some of these cars, the last 6-litre AMG SECs came out with the M119s, known as the Hammer.
Yes.
So, not strictly correct, but you've got to remember, UK Stratton produced, from what we understand, I believe, 2 of these cars. One which was owned by George Harrison, and the other was that Jeff Lynne's one? I'm trying to remember now.
Actually,
there's 2, isn't there?
There's 2 cars that are W124 Hammers. The George Harrison one you're referencing was originally bought by Jeff Lynne from Stratton, and then when Jeff relocated to the States, he gave it to George, and then actually George gave it to his publisher, who unfortunately died whilst he was playing football, and that car was then sold at Coy's auction,
where I attended,
where you attended, and your friend Talbier bought it.
Correct.
And then I think, if I remember correctly, part of the exhaust from the George Harrison car is now on your
my 400E, yes, because here I think he took a, it was a larger bore exhaust, he took that off and put on a genuine AMG back box to get the car back to absolute spec, and so that's my claim to fame on a bit of rock star memorabilia on the back of that 400E. But yeah, we fitted that to this particular car, changed the tips, and that's how it works. And I think the other 124 went to Ireland and is now potentially back in the UK, as I think it was seen at Hampton Court.
But that's only a 5-litre.
Correct.
But to say it's only a
5-litre. It's only a 5-litre, but
it's still
got
a quad cam and
correct.
It's producing about 360 bhp probably. Okay, mustn't digress too much. Your next foray into the world of AMG was with an SEL, the long wheelbase V126, to give it its correct moniker.
Correct. This was probably the first car that really piqued my interest and that I actually bought. And this car is quite special because it was the only car that Stratton installed a 5-litre, we'll call it a Hammer, engine, a 32-valve double overhead cam engine, into one of the 6 to 7 we think they made. And this was done as a secondary because its original owner, George King, attended Stratton, and I've spoken to him, the first owner, wanting a Hammer engine in an SEL, and they took one out of one of their SECs that they had already basically installed for when they first started selling these things. So that car found its way through various owners. Bernie Clifton owned it. Other people whose names escape me, to my friend Talbot Baines, who bought it, would you believe, to take the engine out of. And so he...
It's amazing.
He took the original engine out of that car to fit into his wide body that he'd created. And so I ended up buying the bones of that car, which was everything else, and he put in the engine from his wide body back into the car. So it was so for me it was fine, and it was everything I wanted. I didn't really know what a Hammer engine was at the time. It didn't really mean much to me, and I just liked the look of the vivacious 126 AMG SEL which was left. And so I ended up buying that car, and that forms part of the collection. And so that's the first Hammer that I bought. Now, luckily for me, roll forward 7 or 8 years, one of these engines turned up in Germany.
So for 7 years, that car sat with no engine in it?
No, it's been fitted with a standard 126 engine.
What, a 5-litre?
A 5-litre.
Yeah.
And is drivable and works, but it's lost its original. So I was on the lookout for a engine for her and found one in Germany. Very rare piece, aggressively bid online, and I had to be really, really mad going for this one. And it's a Fred Laufer, came out of a German touring car. Now, I don't know the history of it, but it came with Torsen Gleason diff, an uprated automatic gearbox, the engine, and all the big brakes. So this was a car that was raced.
Yeah.
We don't know, it was in the German Touring Car Championship. I don't know anything else than that. And we managed to get that engine eventually. But that was not before I'd bought my own SEC Hammer.
Which we'll come on to in a minute.
Which we'll come on to in a minute, which is another story. So we've now got an engine to put back into that SEL.
So you've got a 5.6 quad cam?
Five. Which is what was in it originally.
Okay.
We never in this country, as far as I'm aware, saw the 5.6 and the 6 litres. All those early Stratton engines were the 5 litre Hammers, which is where it started off.
Apart from that one Jeff Lynn, George Harrison.
Which I think was potentially installed in Germany, or it came from Germany as a fitted engine.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, to a degree, we'll never know, and I know it's one of the many questions you may ask Ron Stratton when you interview him, but it's most of those early 5 litres were standard blocks with the heads and cams. The 5.6 and the 6 litres were ever so slightly modified, as far as I can work out.
So, going back to this 1985 SEL, how far have you now got with, as it were, its restoration?
So
its
it
recreation.
Is absolutely complete now. Funnily enough, we're just trying to get it sorted out with its... basically, before I bought the engine, I actually managed to find some correct cams and heads, and so we installed those onto the 5-litre engine, which caused its own problems. And now, of course, it's not really needed because the original or the idea now is to put the Hammer engine back into it. But she's all up and running and finished and has been through some bodywork restoration. Various works have been done on it, and it's now just ready for this its next chapter in its life. I'll probably run it with the engine that we've got in, and then I will swap in the SEL engine when funds allow.
Well, we've already referred to the wide-bodied SEC that you nearly cannibalised for the engine for your SEL. So if we can wander across to your garage where you've got what to me is the holy grail, really, of SECs.
Of course.
A wide-body with a quad-cam engine in it. Take this the wrong way, Neville. Does it start?
No.
All right. Okay.
I am not starting that.
No. Okay. do we want to start a car, John? Any car?
Well, they're not the SL.
Anything that burbles.
Yeah, you want to start the SL.
SL. Right. Okay. Yeah. That'll start.
Well, look at this.
So, Richard, just things to remember when you're talking to me.
Yeah.
This has got a Nakamichi, and it's worthwhile mentioning this because this is. One of the big things they did.
Hang on, it sounds like we're in a Japanese restaurant when you say that.
Okay, have you never heard of Nakamichi?
Only from you.
Okay, so the whole of the back has a sound deck fitted with Nakamichi speakers.
Okay.
Okay, and that was a classic Stratton conversion of the time. It blacked out chrome. This car is self-leveling, would you believe? This is one of the very first self-leveling cars that I know of, and this is an 85.
Has it got the self-leveling at the front as well as the rear?
No, just the rear.
Just the rear.
Okay. So this has got AMG self-leveling shocks.
Yeah.
AMG springs and a Torsen diff. So it has everything on this car. Dials, all the wood is modified. And even the stereo cassette player, sadly not a CD player, is actually Burlwood, would you believe?
So would it be true to say that this car
is as complete an AMG offering as it's possible to have.
I think so. To be brutally honest, I can't think of anything that this car hasn't got that was offered at the time.
This is the holy grail of SECs as far as the UK is concerned.
Correct. And this has got the correct 5-litre hammer. And a lot of people turn around and say, oh, it's not a real hammer, it should have a 6-litre engine. Well, no, I'm sorry. What are you talking about?
But it's got a quad cam head.
32 valve head, both sides, as you can see.
And it nestles in the engine bay very well.
Can I ask a question? To the layman, how would I know that that is a
I'll show you an original, because we can go and look at the white one. Just clock the width, Simon. So what they did, this is what they did. Standard block. When they first started doing this, they used a standard block, and then AMG devised a two-part head system that fitted on. So they took the old heads off, and then they put the new heads on top of the existing block. That is why it's relatively straightforward to take the heads off these and do whatever you need to do, because you can buy the gaskets. Now, if you take a 6-litre version of this, you can't buy those gaskets anymore. Now, I know of a set on Japan Yahoo auctions currently for 2 gaskets, $3,000. And that's the difference. So it's actually quite a usable engine. And the second W124 hammer that we were talking about that was owned by God, I can't think. We're not the 5.6, but the 5-litre.
The 5-litre one.
That was rebuilt by some ex-Stratton employees, and they were able to rebuild the engine because it went boom. And that was, funnily enough, sold off by Duncan Hamilton as a non-running car. And that was owned by a chap. I can't think of his name. Martin Trainer. He was the chap who owned it, and he actually sent it to ex-Stratton employees, and they rebuilt it. And they were able to because they. What they did was they changed the block to another block, because it's a standard block, and put the heads back on. So that second hammer, 124, doesn't have its original block. It has some revised block.
Yeah, I think that car is now owned by Jonathan Alcott.
Yes.
Of Avant-Garde Cars.
And I thought it was sold to Ireland, but it wasn't, yeah. And it turned up at Hampton Court, and I was surprised to see it again.
Last year. Yeah. But going back to this car, this SEC, I mean, really to me, I mean, this has got everything. I mean, the SEC's svelte lines, they just look gorgeous from any angle. This Nautic blue coachwork with these flared wheel arches. I mean, actually, the flared wheel arches with this colour scheme, they're not too much in your face. It's really perfectly proportioned. It's not too over the top. And yet under the bonnet, it is over the top. And
I suppose going back to your original question, what is missing is potentially the Recaro seats, as this still retains its original leather Mercedes seats. Okay. And that was a mod that was definitely done, wasn't it, back in the day. So you could argue that that would be one thing you could change if you wanted to. But that's relatively doable.
What's your plan for this car, Neville?
Well, so originally, the
idea. It's got a few spider's webs on it, and.
I bought this car before I bought that spare engine in Germany to put back in my SEL, which was the plan. I bought this car to take this engine out and put in my SEL, would you believe?
Well, that's criminal, but anyway.
So,
yes.
I purchased this car, it came on a low loader here, and it was reversed into this garage, and here it has sat for 8 or 9 years. We have been out in it twice, and that is it. So what is the proposal now is to, as you can see, this is Nautic blue, my SEL is Nautic blue. I want the ultimate match pair, both with 5-litre hammer engines, both modified by AMG, both original Stratton cars. They're one of the 6 that they did, so we'll have 2. And the idea is to go through this front to back, and to be brutally honest, it just needs a thorough clean and refreshing. Fluids changed, full service, run out the gremlins and see what works and what doesn't. Probably we'll need new calipers. Whether the calipers will be standard or not will depend on whether they were changed, and that only time will tell on that. Just the usual, what you have to do to a car when it's sat in a barn for 10 years.
Neville, this has been amazing talking to you. I mean, this is really a great privilege to see these cars, which are iconic, and you just can't find cars like this today. You know, they don't make them anymore.
Nope.
And these cars, they have such a personality. Each one's got a character. You're a very lucky man.
Thank you. I feel privileged, to be honest, but yeah.
And finally, and it's not meant to be a killer question, is if you could only keep one of your AMG cars, which one would you keep?
Oh, that is a difficult question. And I think it will probably be the very first one that I started off with, which started this whole journey, which was the blue SEL that lost its Hammer engine all those years ago. That's what started me on the journey of SELs, and I think in true reality that is the car that I will end up owning and keeping. Whether I end up keeping the others, only time will tell, but yeah, that would be one I would like to keep.
That would be the one.
This would be possibly close second.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much indeed for your
That's
time.
All right, my pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.